Thanks to Raycon for supporting the morning stream. Get crisp, powerful beats at half the price of other premium audio brands. Get 15% off your entire Raycon order at buyraycon.com/morningstream. Coming up on TMS, my wife partner.
Wanton endangerment.
A pinch full of Scott makes the weed brownies go down.
Beer as dark as my heart.
Ew. Assault with a deadly fruit.
Hitler is my middle name.
Head, shoulders, hand, foot, mouth, hand, foot, mouth.
Undesirable Utah shrimp.
Put a little bit of weed in there.
Virginia Pipette is my stage name.
Science is cool and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
My brother was lost in that patrol. I hope he's still alive somewhere in the mine. If you find him, I will be very grateful.
I've had the schlips.
The Morning Stream. They mostly come in the morning. Mostly.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to TMS, or to it for the first time. I don't want to assume things about you and your viewing and watching and listening habits. Maybe you've never been here before. And if that's true, boy, are you in for a treat, because I'm Scott Johnson, and I'm joined today by my life partner, Kim.
I'm your wife.
Oh, my wife partner. Oops, I didn't mean to turn that off. Hey, you're back after your whirlwind tour last week of a co-host of the show. So how's it feel?
I missed it after I didn't do it again.
Yeah, you're the bread and the guest hosting sandwich.
I'm the jelly.
This week. Oh, you're the jelly. Oh, speaking of jelly, the house is full of jelly now. Well done.
I have made jelly.
Well, jam. Where's the jelly?
Both.
You've made jelly? Wait, hold on. Where's the jelly? I've only had the jam.
The plum. Yesterday.
Oh, right.
It was a new one.
Yeah, we have plum jelly.
Blackberry jalapeno jam.
Yeah, and then some peach jalapeno jam.
Peach habanero.
Habanero, sorry.
Yeah, different peppers out of the garden.
Oh my gosh, you guys don't even know. There's not even... and it's
you don't even know.
Well, you have no idea. It's so good. And then you canned a bunch of peaches. You're just some kind of weird, freaky... what am I trying to say? You're a
homemaker?
There, that's the word. Doing stuff I would never know even how to start doing.
I'm feeling pretty good, though. I did make jambalaya yesterday.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about this for a second? It had fish in it. Fish.
Well, it wasn't in it. I did a blackened piece of tilapia on top.
Yeah, it was great. It was insane, actually. I don't even know how to describe it, because normally you put shrimp in there. There was no shrimp in this batch, because did one without shrimp.
Yeah.
And, you know, the shrimp in Utah is not like the right out of the bay.
No, you have to buy it frozen or fresh, sort of fresh.
Fresh, frozen, whatever.
Frozen, then thawed.
Yeah. It's never going to be like...
We don't have any shrimp in Utah.
Yeah.
That you want to eat.
You're never going to be down at the dock unloading...
Correct.
Fresh anything here, because we're landlocked. That's how it works up here. But anyway, the point is that normally we'll have that in there. So there's your little seafoody, proteiny business, you know. And sometimes most of the time you'll have like a sausage or something in there.
Sausage and chicken.
But we didn't do that this time. She went like...
I went totally vegetarian.
Yeah, which is great. Nothing wrong with that. It's fantastic. Yeah, I love it. But then on top of this thing, so a little bit of rice underneath, loaded up with some jambalaya on top, and then this pan-fried tilapia on top of that, which is one of my favorite kinds of fish, a white fish.
Very crispy.
I'm still thinking about that fish. It was so good. It was so good. Oh my gosh. In fact, I kind of think that ought to be the dish.
I'm happy you're happy.
Should that be the dish? Should that be the new thing going forward?
I mean, we can go for that.
All right.
We'll see.
All right.
When tilapia's in season.
Oh, there's a season for tilapia?
I'm sure there is.
Don't tell the fish. They don't know. Anyway.
It's their time.
It is their time. Anyway, so yeah, it is pescatarian overall. What she means, Claire, is that the jambalaya itself is vegan.
Was vegan, yeah.
Or vegetarian, yeah. But the added fish made it pescatarian, and it made me very happy. It was very, very, very good. Also, I had potato chips with it for some reason, which is weird.
Okay.
I'm not saying that's the, you know, you should do that. I'm just saying I did.
That's just Scott eating potato chips anytime.
Well, I like dipping big hunks of jambalaya goo on a chip.
Yeah.
I'll do it.
See that.
Yep. I'll do that without even being asked. It's fantastic. It's really good stuff.
And any fish would work because someone's asked about fried catfish, which I have made before, and it's fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And that's the best fish if you can get it fresh. I've never had better fish.
If you can find it fresh, yes.
Never had better fish than fresh catfish. Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right out of the Mississippi River, right up to your table kind of thing. It's so good, dude. It's... And I'm not even that big of a fish guy. I probably should be because you need those omega-3s and stuff.
Well, neither of those is a really fishy fish. That's probably why.
Where do you get your omega-3s? Is that all sea fish?
I think that's salmon, isn't it?
I don't know. I don't know where you get it.
That's a river fish.
But you got to get that oil.
I like salmon fine as long as it's like a fresh caught. It doesn't. I can't do fishy things.
Yeah, you're not a fishy.
I'm not a fishy
person.
Flavor person.
No. If it's like... Kim can always tell if, like, the salmon's going to work out. Because if it's at all even remotely fishy, we're done. That whole thing's going in the trash.
Yeah, I like to go to the seafood counter, and if I can't smell fishiness, then I'm usually okay.
Then you trust them. Yep. That kid trying to make his way through high school is worthy of your trust. Because his counter does not smell fishy. Anyway, so that was fun. We really enjoyed that. You should make more of that. And we should probably document that somehow so people know how to make it.
It's out there somewhere.
Someplace.
Some WordPress site that I posted it on.
Hey, we were talking before the show about we're going to do a couples quiz here in a second.
Okay.
I know that sounds crazy, but we're going to do it.
A couple of quizzes?
But somehow it came up about how when we die, how do we want to go, buried or cremated or something else?
I mean, if you want to have a say in it.
Yeah, I do kind of. I want to have
do
a...
Do you?
Don't you? I don't know.
I don't know. I'll be dead. I don't know if I matter
it's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point. But what you don't want to find
I'm
out...
I'm not going to be mad at anybody,
what if
obviously.
You find? What if you somehow find out later that they, paraded you downtown in a clown suit with your corpse on the roof of a
it'll
Volkswagen?
It'll be something to laugh at.
Okay. So you'd be all right with that.
Whatever.
I want to be...
At that point, really, what are you going to do?
I want to be cremated. I want to have... we've already talked about this, but I want the brownie thing with the old people's home. I want them to just put
Wait,
a pinch of me.
You're not making a lot of sense there. The brownie thing with the old people, they need to know what you're talking
okay,
about.
Okay, well, I've told this story before, but basically...
I'm not here all the time.
No, you're not here, but take a pinch of me, of my ashes, and put me in a whole batch of brownies, give it to the old people at the old folks'
I'm
home.
I'm sorry, it'd be a little sandy. Can't do it.
No, just a tiny bit. You wouldn't know. You'd never know. It's like putting a little weed in there. In fact, go ahead and put a little weed in there. It's fine.
Make it go down a little bit easier.
Yeah. And then Bobby says that's probably not legal. Probably not. I'm not asking for legality here. All right. I'm just saying. Pinch of me in every batch of brownies you make. That means you don't have to use me all at once. Just a pinch. And then it'll last a long time. And then we'll go a long period of time. I don't know who's going to manage this. We need to make that legal at some point.
It'll be a little salty.
Yeah.
A little salt. You don't even have to add salt.
Yeah.
A little pinch.
Yeah, just a pinch.
A pinch of Scott.
A pinch of Scott and a little bit of love will get you a long way. Anyway, I wonder if you get, like, if you're dead and that was your last will that, hey, you got to take a pinch of me and put me in everything. And I tell my kids that or whatever. Are they legally bound to do it and also legally culpable by doing it? Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's a problem.
Probably both things, maybe.
Probably.
Or the one.
Did you want to do that to your kids?
Poor kids. Kind of want to do it to that. Carter a little bit. She went.
She's probably like, hey, hold on a minute.
I mean, I kind of do because she's, she's fun to tease and whatever. She's actually trying. Oh, I'm not supposed to talk about that. Never mind. That thing I'm not supposed to talk about.
Oh, my gosh.
You know how to. I know
what you're talking about.
I know. I'm not supposed to talk about stuff I'm not supposed to, but sometimes it starts to come out, and now I'm not going to talk about it. Let's just say she has a cool
Shut
thing.
Shut it down,
she wants,
Scott.
She has a cool Shut thing she down. Wants to do. That's all. That's all I'm going to say. Something cool. Something
it's very, cool.
Very career oriented. That's it. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Shutting it down. Zipper up. Oh, hey, Brian's in the chat. I think that means I can call him. We're going to check in with Ireland. You want to do that real fast?
Absolutely.
Let's do that. This should be fun. Hold on a minute. I guess I'm not prepared. I thought I was. Okay, here we go. All right, so we're going to call Brian Ibbett. You guys may remember him from such things as The Morning Stream. He was here as co-host for a good 11 years now, and now he's back. He's in Ireland still. Let's see. Hold on. I'm killing time. Here we go. Found it. all right, let's give him a call. Let's see what's up. Hope he's got the kind of connection the Irish should be proud of. Hello, Brian Ibbett. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me? Right?
Oh my gosh, you sound great.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
good.
It's like you're here. The lag's even less than when you're at home. Fantastic.
Oh, good. Then I'll just stay here and we'll do the show from here from now on.
Yeah, let's just do that. You don't need to go home. Have Dave. Dave will take care of all your shit. It'll be fine.
Yeah, exactly. He can feed the cat and water the plants and all that. Hi, Kim.
Hi.
usually you can't hear me when you come in the room and Scott and I are doing the show. Yeah. He has to relay everything to you. And he changes everything up. He doesn't tell you what I tell him to tell.
Yeah. Yeah, one of these days it'll all come out.
Now I know.
Yeah, well, that's how it goes. So, where are you now? What part of the country?
Currently, we're back in Dublin. So we fly out tomorrow. So we're back in Dublin to spend one last night here. We drove almost all the way around the country. We checked our mileage and did just over 1,600 kilometers, which is about 1,000 miles of driving from Dublin up to Belfast, to the Antrim coast, to Sligo, Galway.
So you might say you would drive 500 miles and then drive 500 more is what you'd do.
You would say that. Yes, yeah. you could definitely say that.
Aren't those guys Irish or those Scottish or something? I think those guys
are Scottish, okay. But close enough. Well, we could almost see Scotland from where we were.
Oh,
if it was
nice.
A clearer day,
yeah.
One of our places we went, we could see across the channel and see Scotland, but it was too foggy. Too cloudy.
Have you met Scottish people though? Kind of just around, like, you know, just showing up somewhere. There's a guy from Scotland because we're all part of the same United Kingdom or whatever.
If we have, then we didn't. And Ireland's not part of the United Kingdom. If we did meet somebody Scottish that we didn't know, that we didn't know about it. You know, we met a couple Americans. We really didn't interact a whole lot with other people. For multitudes of reasons. One, you know, we're just antisocial, but two, we're also, you know, being kind of careful to stay away from people.
Yeah.
But it's they're just as serious about masks here as we are back home. Restaurants and things way more serious. Like you can't even get a table inside without a vaccination card.
Oh,
so we have to have those. Those are actually more important than ID here. I haven't had to show my driver's license or passport, but we've had to show our COVID card almost every night for a table in a restaurant.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. I know
that makes me happy.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes me happy to hear that. They're doing. I know that a lot of that's happening here, too, starting to, but not on that level. It sounds like that's all set up down there.
And I think it makes me feel better too, right? Like, you know, going in there, it's like, all right, I know everybody in here is vaccinated. I don't feel weird about being, you know, 5 feet away from somebody else drinking a Guinness next to me.
And okay, so I got to ask about that. So Guinness is the stereotype, right? Everyone's drinking Guinness. Is that true then when you get there? Or is it some other thing we've never heard of that they're all drinking?
Nope. Guinness in the north, Murphy is in the south. Both of them are Irish stouts. So beer is dark as my heart, basically, like just pitch black. And somebody said, oh yeah, the Guinness tastes so much better in Ireland. I thought, well, how can it, you know, whatever, they bottle some of it here or whatever, but no, it does. The Guinness here tastes so much better than the Guinness back home.
And that's coming from a guy who doesn't even love, you don't even love beer, right? And you
I don't better. Love beer, but but I've had Guinnesses or Murphys every night since we've been here. And even though there's some great cider options here, it's like, no, I'll totally, you know, when in Rome, do a Guinness or a Murphy's. And, but there's been some good ciders. Tina's had some ciders, so I've sampled hers. And, they're brands I wish we had in the U.S.
Are the Murphy people and the Guinness people, are they like the Catholics and the Protestants that just keep going at each other's throat?
I think there's something to that. Whether it's the brewers themselves or just the fans of those stouts, you get it is a very territorial thing. Like, no, you're in the South. We drink Murphy's down here.
Mm.
And Tom Merritt was the person who clued me in on that, but somebody else had mentioned that to me as well, and either tweeted it or emailed me information about it.
Nice. Well, is there something that you've seen done or otherwise witnessed that you were like, man, this is the reason you come to Ireland and why everyone in the world should go here? What if you had one thing, what would it be? Besides Claire Gack. I mean, obviously she's a big deal.
Of course, Claire Gack is the number one reason for anybody to come here.
Right.
You know, Skellig Michael, the island we went to yesterday, yeah, was one that we weren't as expecting to have blown us away as much as it did. That and the Cliffs of Moher. Like, there's two reasons right there,
yeah,
to come to Ireland. It's just absolutely breathtaking and huge and, you know, and spectacular. And so the sites like that are one thing. The food is fantastic. If you're okay with everything being deep fried, this is the country for you.
Really? I didn't realize they were everything was so deep fried there. That's crazy. Oh,
yeah, it's like amazing. Fish and chips, deep fried fish, deep fried chicken. Every restaurant you go into has fish and chips and usually a seafood chowder, but they also have chicken strips, you know, with the same batter that they use for the fish. And we're going to try Boxty tonight, Boxty, which is like a pancake made with hash browns.
Potato everything.
Yeah, yeah. I heard about everything.
Yeah, everything potato. Yesterday, last night I had a chicken stuffed with black pudding wrapped with bacon. And it was served on mashed potatoes. And on the side, it came with boiled potatoes.
Oh. Wow. Wow. So they're not there's no blight going on, it sounds like, right now. They're doing good.
There's no potato famine going on here right now.
Fantastic.
There we go. Tina took a picture of it. I'll post it in the, I'll tweet it or post it on in the tadpole or something.
Nice, nice. All potatoes all the time. I'm sure there's some melancholy about leaving, but, you know, you're probably also excited to get home and, you know.
There is, yeah. Tina, I've been, you know, there have been many a conversation about how, man, I wish it was still a few more days here, but then we're also glad to be coming home. So,
yeah.
Yeah, it's that, that's a sign of a good vacation is when you're ready to come home, but you're also not ready to leave. And this place, everybody we've encountered, except for one guy who flipped me off, and I'll talk about that on Monday.
Sweet. I love it. I was hoping for something like that. That's good.
He wasn't a homeless guy. He was driving the car in front of me, and he reached out his tattooed arm and flipped me off. But we'll talk about it. I mean, I could almost do an entire episode just on the driving experience in Ireland because it is so different from anything I've ever experienced in the U.S.
Oh, I'll bet. And you're driving, right? Like the whole time on.
Tina did not take the wheel once. I was the only name on the account, and she was happy about that. She said she did not want to do any of this driving. And
I wonder if it's like China. I had the weirdest. The driving in China is ridiculous, and I just wonder if, like, sometimes busy, narrow streets and old, ancient drive passways and things are just make you drive different, I guess. It's
a different culture. Less on the ancient pathways, but way more on the streets that are like, if your side view mirror had a snail sitting on the edge of it, it'd get wiped off by passing cars on the other side. Like, it's that tight.
Oh man, I would stress me the hell out. I'm impressed you made it through all that. Were you like just super focused while you were driving all the time?
Okay. Basically for the first 3 or 4 days I was white knuckle, you know, like doing everything I could to make sure I was in the middle of the lane and even closer to the right than to the left sometimes. But by today, I mean, Tina can vouch that I was eating chips with one hand and driving with the other. And
nice.
It was like, it was nothing.
Yeah. Today, well, so. I mean, look, no wonder they need the Murphys and the Guinness at night. They gotta come down from their commute.
calm the nerves from the drive. 100%.
Yeah. Well, anything else you want to mention about the trip or anything? We've certainly missed you here. We hope you had nothing but a good time.
I've missed you guys too. We've been listening to every show, and Kim, you did a fantastic job. Travis was great. Garrett was fantastic as well. So I knew I left the chair in good hands, but I'll be happy to take it back on Monday.
Yeah, and the shape, it's still your bum shape.
It's still my bum shape, and I bet, Kim spritzes around the area and cleans and probably dusts more than I have in the booth, and so it should be much nicer.
Oh, it's cleaner. It's cleaner than it's ever been, I can promise. Well, that's great. I hope you have nothing but a safe travel home, but that also you see some weirdos on the plane. That's always good for stories.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
everything
I'm kind of
content.
Hoping for one air rage moment is what I'd like to see, just one.
Was the trip over pretty uneventful that way?
It was pretty uneventful, although there was one guy who was already yelling at the gate agents, and I was thinking, oh, this guy, we're totally gonna have some air rage, and he was even in our section, so I thought, all right, he's gonna be the guy that has to get duct taped down into a seat.
Yeah.
But he kept it cool, unfortunately, and didn't raise a stink.
Unfortunately.
I really want to see somebody get pinned locked in
too.
The bathroom.
Duct taped to their chair.
I want to see somebody get pinned, and I want them to like have me hold the roll of tape for a second while they adjust something and hand it back to them. And yeah, that's what I want. I want full involvement.
Absolutely.
Well,
that
all right.
Always the flight home.
safe trip home. Our best to Tina, and look forward to having you back. Well, I guess I'll see you on FilmSack. We're going to try to do that. Anyway,
You'll see me FilmSack on Sunday. Yep.
You're going to be very tired. Very.
I'm going to be exhausted, and I still have to figure out a way to go see Shang-Chi this weekend too.
Right. It's out. I haven't done it yet either. Don't feel bad. We're trying to figure out what we're going to do too, because I keep hearing that maybe they made the best Marvel movie ever, and now we have to.
Yeah. That's what I've been hearing too. Sounds crazy.
For Shang-Chi. Cool. What the frick world do we live in?
Right?
It's crazy. Crazy. What are they going to do next? Guardians of the Galaxy and make that work somehow?
How about a Fin Fang Foom movie?
Oh my lord. I just read a comic with that character in it, and I have questions about that damn thing. Anyway, we'll do that next week when you get back. Be safe. Have
Sounds
fun
good.
For the rest of your time, and drink Murphy and Guinness at the same time so that you can be equal in the eyes of the Irish. Bye now. All right. All right. Well, Kim, we did it.
We did it.
We talked to Brian. That was the goal we had, and we accomplished that goal. So now, why don't we do a thing that I've been nervous about doing, but we're doing it.
Why nervous?
Because it's a couples quiz, and it's a little nerve-wracking. This is made for people who are just getting to know each other and not someone like you and me who've been married forever.
Oh, okay.
All right?
Okay.
But I thought it'd be fun in that light to take this quiz to see how we would fare if it was today we met and our future was ahead of us. Okay.
We met today. All right.
Oh, yeah. Let me think for a second. If we stay married for another... I mean, we will, but let's say we stay married for another...
I like the if part. You're like, if we stay married.
If we stay married for another 29 years.
Yeah.
That's how long? That's...
58.
No. Right. You're right.
Correct.
Almost 60. Oh, that's crazy. But anyway, let's say that happens. I'll be dead long before then. But anyway, let's just say that happens. What was my point? I was going to make a point.
I don't know. I can't read your mind.
I don't know what I was going to say. I had a thing to say, and I can't remember now. Captain Mortality, Genie called me. Fantastic. All right. So let's start with question number one. There are 10 questions in this quiz. It'll tell us at the end something. I don't know what the result will be, but whether we're made for each other or not. So let's find out.
Interesting.
29 years into this, if we actually screwed up. All right.
Okay.
Here we go. How long are you in a relationship? Our options are, it's a multiple choice, over a year, few months, few weeks, few days.
Over a year.
Technically, they're all true, but over a year is what we're going to say.
Okay.
All right. Next. Okay. Oh, no, I just hit.
So wait, so if someone didn't know that, is that the problem here?
This thing's weird because I hit next and it reset. Nope, we're good. Okay, number two. He or she knows how to make you smile. I'm asking you these questions, by the way.
You know how to make me smile. You make me laugh.
All right, your options are strongly agree, two, three, and four is strongly disagree. So strongly agree?
Strongly agree.
Okay, that's nice to hear. I do make you laugh every day. That's the goal.
That's true.
Do you, 29 years. Do you and your partner talk about your plans for the future? Yes, sometimes, rarely, no.
Yes.
I agree. So far, I'm in full agreement with your answers. When your partner says, I love you, how do you respond? Here's your options. You say that you love him or her and you kiss him or her. I'm a him, by the way. I mean, I'm just letting everybody know who I am, what I am. It's my pronouns. You say that you love him, her too. You hug him. I'll just say him. Or you say thank you. So what do you say?
Oh my gosh. If you said thank you, that would be the worst.
Yeah, that'd be weird, right?
I say love you too.
Okay. So that's up here. Okay. Got it. All right. Now, next. Because the kiss one, maybe sometimes, but it's not every time.
Yeah, but we're like on the phone sometimes texting that to each other.
Yeah. Sometimes I'm...
How old is this quiz?
it's actually new-ish.
Okay.
All right. Your friends think that you would be a nice couple.
I hope so.
1 through 4. 1 being strongest, 4 being weakest. I mean, I had friends in the beginning who were sure we weren't made for each other.
That's true. You had old high school friends that were like, she's not from here. She's going to want to go home. It's not going to work out.
Yeah, they were butts about it.
You were like, what's your problem?
Yeah. So I'm going to say 3. Well, 2. Let's give it a 2. Because most people agreed that we were fine. But it drops us down because my friends were idiots. Okay. Moving forward there. And chat room, you're right. This is a quiz for people just out of high school or people just getting started. That's the fun here is we're saying, hey, what if we took this quiz, but 29 years later?
All right. Okay.
Do you like to spoil your partner? The options are, I love spoiling him with gifts and nights out. It depends, only if he gets me things I like. I don't spoil him because he's not worth it. Or finally, have never and never will.
I like to spoil you with gifts and food and whatnot.
And I will say she never requires anything in return. So
there you go.
I like to, but it's not like you're going,
but
I'm doing this so that you'll do this.
That's true.
That's what
usually
I mean.
We end up, like, if you surprise me with a gift, it's out of nowhere, and the same vice versa.
Right. Fair enough. Okay, how about this one? How do you show love to him in this case? A, a hug. B, a long romantic kiss. C, a peck. Depends on what you define as a peck, if you know what I'm saying. Or D, taking her out and kissing her.
Taking her out? Like shooting me and then kissing me?
Or taking me out.
Okay.
Even this quiz is all over the place because sometimes it just says her. You'd say hug? Okay.
Because
the rest of this doesn't work. It's all weird.
I like the taking me out and kissing me.
Yeah. Take her out back and kiss her. All right. How about this one? Which of the following is an ideal date for you? A, dinner in a restaurant by the beach or sunset. Or at sunset. Not or.
I would say or. We have no beach.
Yeah, that's true. We have no beach. Well, we have beaches, but they're around lakes. So that's how it goes.
Yeah.
B, picnic. C, cinema or film, movie, whatever. D, the pub or a bar. So what would you say? I mean, everyone would pick the beach thing with the sunset.
I would say the pub. We both like pub food.
You know what?
A lot more.
That's true. For people that don't drink, we sure love a good bar, you know?
They have the best food.
They do have the best food. And they're always nice. And those people are usually like memorizing everything, so they don't write anything down. I just feel like bars know what they're doing.
But to be honest, we've done all of those. It just depends on what the mood is.
Yeah, that's true. But I'll say pub. Why not?
Yeah.
All right. Next. This must be a European quiz. Because they say pub.
It said pub or bar.
Yeah. I'm expecting vacation to be holiday at some point. How much do you see him? A, sometimes. B, every day for at least 4 hours. C, after work and on the weekends. Or final answer is most days.
B.
B, every day for at least a few hours. Yeah.
Yeah.
Duh. I mean, yeah. And that's always been true, right?
It's true. Yeah.
All right. Would you spend the rest of your life with him? A, strongly agree, down to D, which is strongly disagree, or 2
strongly
and 3.
Strongly agree.
Oh.
Obviously, 29 years later.
Yeah, you're committed. You're in. There's no getting out.
I'm in.
All right. So
I'm all in.
At marriage.com, here are the results of our quiz.
Okay.
You are a perfect couple.
Oh.
You communicate a lot and you pay attention to each other. You will remain happy in this relationship.
This sounds so scripted.
Ooh.
You will remain happy in this relationship.
Yep.
You will remain happy.
Yeah, you will, damn it. There's another one here that says sex quiz for couples. Probably not going to take that one, though.
Not on the air.
Not on the air. Save that for later.
We'll save that for another
time. Save it for later.
Next time Brian goes out of town.
Yeah. Well, he's got those Japan tickets, so you never know how soon it'll be. All right, let's do this. It's time for the news, and it's brought to you by Jambalaya over at lunch today, because I get to have it again. Okay? That's what it's brought to you
All by. Right.
I can't wait, actually. I'm thinking about it right now. It sounds amazing now, and I'm not even supposed to be hungry yet. I don't eat till 11. That's my deal. I don't eat between 7 and 11 every day. 7 a.m.?
No.
Sorry, 7 p.m.
11 a.m.
7. Wait.
11 a.m.
Well, yeah.
To 7 p.m. you eat.
Well, not exactly. No, from 7 p.m. at night until 11 a.m. the next day, I don't eat. Right?
Saying the same thing I did, yeah.
One of those questions should have been, is your husband a dumbass?
A, most definitely. A.
That is like, that's like what, B, that's what she said.
Most of the time. C, somewhat.
Listen to this.
D, never.
This is literally true of what we just did.
That's what she said.
There you go. It was Colonel Potter, by the way.
Oh, yeah. I love Colonel Potter.
Now, when he said that.
That's what she said.
He wasn't doing a that's what she said joke. It was back before any of that existed.
It was the original.
So he's
the
just
OG.
Like, yeah, the OG. He's the goat. All right. He's an old goat. All right, check this out. A man got 5 years in jail for spreading COVID on purpose.
I wondered if this was ever going to happen. Like, or sorry, when this was going to happen.
You knew it would. You just wondered
when. People would start,
when.
Like, suing people for purposely spreading it.
Well, you see those ladies in stores that are going, like on people wearing
on their food
masks
and
stuff,
yes.
Just because they're giant,
yes.
Huge, horrible dick people.
I just think I'd punch her in the face.
Oh, I'd have the hardest time holding back. There's one right now floating around of this lady walking around the store, coughing on anyone wearing a mask, just being the most worst human you can be. And all I could think of was, you all have too much restraint. And I know you mm-hmm. need to have that because you don't want to be part of the problem. You don't want to get arrested for assault. Like, I get
boy,
it.
Boy, just elbows out, man.
But gosh, dang it, dude. It makes me want to beat the schmear out of people when they do that. It really is visceral, that visceral to me. I just want to, oh, I hate it so much.
I think I would have a hard time not punching her and it would be worth it. And I would probably be fine doing it when I told them what she did.
Yeah. And for the record, I'd feel the same way if some, I don't know, extreme left person was walking around and they said, your shirt's made out of the feathers of a duck. You should be ashamed. Whatever, right in my face or whatever. I'd be just as pissed. Freaking.
That'd be weird.
That would be weird.
Be honest with you.
Also, do I have any t-shirts made out of duck feathers? Or probably
I don't think so.
No, it's probably not a thing.
Not till Halloween.
But yeah, it would be assault if I attacked her or if I did anything physical. But I'd sure want to.
Yes, but then she would have started it. Doing something physical.
Yeah, see? But they, well, maybe the story
is
will help
that,
us understand
would that,
that
be considered defending myself?
No.
If from you, her now, spittle?
If she was coming at you in a way, well, see,
that, see? See?
Maybe.
Maybe.
I just don't think I can haul off and, you know, punch her or something, but I think I could probably.
I think I would.
I could probably go hands up and push her out of the way or something, you know, push her forward and say,
just
look,
take
don't
the cart
stay
and
away
slam
from
it
me.
Into her.
Like, just
like,
stay
away
from
I didn't touch her.
Me.
I didn't touch her.
But there's like, I'm not a violent person ever. I've been in one fight my entire life. It was in junior high and I broke my pinky doing it. I never did it again and I don't like fighting. I'm not a fan. But I understand that human thing, that reaction when somebody's that horrible.
Mm-hmm.
You just want to freaking...
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, but it could be self-defense given what's going on here. But
I
anyway.
Mean, with what's going on here, if that was on purpose...
Yeah.
Then I would be like, my fist slipped.
Well, this happened in Vietnam, so not here. But
food fight. That's what I
yeah,
did.
Food fight.
It was in the middle of a grocery store. Just beaner with an apple.
Yeah. Yeah. Would that be assault? With a deadly fruit? All right. So here's the deal. A court in Levantry, I don't know if I'm saying that right, is guilty of transmitting dangerous infectious disease to 8 people, one of whom eventually died. Until recently, Vietnam had been largely successful at keeping the COVID-19 virus out with tight restrictions, but infections have surged since June with an outbreak fueled by the more contagious Delta variant, as we're seeing kind of everywhere else. The country has seen more than 30,000 cases rather, with more than 13,300 deaths, many of which have occurred in the last few months. This is just in Vietnam. Many of those cases have been found in Ho Chi Minh City. Anyway, this guy traveled by motorcycle from Ho Chi Minh to his home province of Cao Mau. He was found to have lied on a health declaration form, which asked about his recent travel history and also failed to comply with isolation rules. Local authorities at the time had made it mandatory anyone traveling from other provinces to immediately isolate themselves for 21 days. That's a lot.
That is a lot. Wow.
This guy named Tri later tested positive for the virus and was found to have transmitted the virus to members of his family as well as a staff at a welfare center which he had visited. He was sentenced to jail at the end of a one-day trial, or of a one-day trial, and was also fined the equivalent of $880. So, They're obviously a little more hardcore over there.
Yeah.
About the rules and whatnot. But why do I feel like the lady coughing in the video at the Kroger deserves his sentence more than he does? I mean, I'm not saying he shouldn't have complied.
Well, I mean, 21 days is a hard thing to do if you need to have your job and all of those things. I don't know what his situation was, or if he was being very belligerent, and or if it was all on purpose.
Yeah.
Or accidental, because he didn't know he was positive. I don't know the story.
Yeah.
But I think the lady in the store deserves it more.
Yeah. She probably doesn't even have COVID, and she just still deserves it. I was going to say, remember when there's always a thing with like people trying to give other people AIDS, and they knew they had it, and then they'd sleep around, and they were like transmitting AIDS without...
On purpose.
Yeah, maybe not on purpose, but they just weren't like, they didn't care.
Well, that's on purpose if you know you have it.
Yeah, either way, it's
on
purpose.
You know they're going to contract it.
Yeah, yeah. I guess
it depends on if he knew he was positive and was going to spread that.
Yeah. Is it wanton endangerment? There you go, Dice Tomatoes.
But if the person in the store knows that coughing all over everyone's fruit, they're purposely trying to hurt people.
Yeah.
That's... Oh, man.
I know. And she smiled the whole time. That's what made me mad. She's just going... And I was like, I'm going to put my foot right down your throat. It's going to go. It's going to fit nicely. It's going to tickle your spleen, my toes.
All right.
I'm not going to find this video and share it. I could show the chat, but I don't want to. She made me so
It'll just make you mad. You know what it looks like.
Yeah. Wonton endangerment is what that's called. You endanger your wontons. All right. Moving on. How about this story? This is a happy one, uplifting one.
Okay.
A man named Adolf Hitler won a local election.
Oh, my. Oh, my gosh.
Not here.
I know, but I would have heard that.
You would have heard about it here.
Yeah.
A Namibian politician named Adolf Hitler, and he was literally named after...
What were his parents
...the German
thinking?
Dictator. I know. I'm a little worried about his upbringing.
Yeah.
He says he has no plans for world domination. After he won a sweeping victory in local elections, Adolf Hitler Unona was elected last week as councillor of the Umpunja constituency. I think I got that right.
All right.
So is Hitler his middle name? Adolf Hitler Unona.
Probably. I mean, that must have been just a sick joke for his parents.
They must have had a real good time with it.
Ugh.
Or they're terrible.
Terrible.
In an interview with the German newspaper Bild, he insisted he had nothing to do with the Nazi ideology. I would still get my name changed.
Yeah.
Adolf, like other Germanic first names, is not uncommon in the country, which was once a German colony. So that kind of stuff. That's why you see a lot of names like that there. He was elected by the ruling SWAPO party. I don't know if I'd trust a party called SWAPO. You know what I mean?
Torek says... Courthouse, $50.
Yeah, courthouse, $50.
End of discussion.
It's like $100 now. It's more. It's gone
still
up.
Worth it.
Yep. Anyway, he led the campaign against colonial and white minority rule. Mr. Unano admitted that his father had named him after the Nazi leader, but said he probably didn't understand what Adolf Hitler stood for. As a child, I saw it as a totally normal name, he said, who won with his seat with 85% of the vote. Jeez. It wasn't until I was growing up that I realized this man... I wanted to subjugate the whole world, he said, adding, I have nothing to do with any of these things.
He skipped history class.
Feels like a little bit. Mr. Unano said his wife calls him Adolf, and he goes by the name in public, and he has no plans to change it.
All right. Well, Adolf stand Hitler. By your parents' decision, I guess. But
Do you think when they got mad at him and they used the full name, like my mom would go, Scott Blaine Johnson, get in here. They went Adolf Hitler Unano.
I don't know.
Take the dog out. I said take the dog out. All right. Well, there's that guy.
Mine's just a really long one. Kimberly Elizabeth Sones.
Sones. S-O-N-E-S, like Jones with an S.
Yeah.
Yeah. People always ask, how do you spell that? And we say, Jones with an S. And then they still look at you funny.
Sones.
Sones. Miss Sones. And there's like three names in the South. And it's,
oh my gosh! There's whatever.
Sones in the where Kim comes from.
And
Sones,
we all know how Scott exaggerates.
Ladner, and what's the other one? there's a third one that's very common. You know what it is? Come on, help me.
Sones, Ladner. I don't know which one.
There's a
about?
Third name that, and then they're all related. Everybody's cousins to everybody down there.
Favre. That's one.
As far, yeah, Brett Favre's family's from there.
Mm-hmm.
Every once in a while, you have enough cousins.
Smith.
You have enough cousins, mate. You end up with a Brett Favre.
Oh, come on.
No,
yeah.
Brett Favre, he's in, is an anomaly. He's like a superhuman. You know, he's kind of a jerk, but he can sure throw that football. Anyway.
Yes, he can. His dad taught me driver's ed.
Yeah. Was he creepy at all, or is
Irvin
he all right?
Favre. No, he was fine.
Irvin Favre?
Irvin Favre.
He didn't go, hey, girls, come on in. It wasn't like that?
Being so weird.
I don't know. I don't know why that's... for some reason, I want...
No, there's no problem there.
Okay. I want Brett Favre's dad to be skeevy
a weirdo?
For some reason.
No, he's dead, first of all.
Well, yeah.
Let's not speak ill of the dead.
No, no.
And he was a nice guy.
He was okay.
He was the football coach and driver's ed teacher.
You're a pretty good driver, so you must have...
There you go.
I mean, you sound like you're on... what was that movie? I can't think of the movie. The Tom Cruise movie. I made it sound like that. You got to watch Wapner.
Oh, my gosh.
What's it called? I can't think of it.
Rain Man.
Rain Man. You're like Rain Man over there. I'm a good driver, you said. Anyway,
I am a good driver.
But you're a super good driver, and so maybe I owe Irvin Favre an apology.
A debt of gratitude.
Yeah. May he rest in pieces. Maybe pieces. maybe he was dissected.
Stop.
Before. I don't know. How do we know? Nobody knows anything.
All right.
If I threw a box of toothpicks on the floor, would you know how many there were if I did that?
No.
Okay. Well, you're not Rain Man then.
Nope,
forget this.
I'm not.
Rain Lady. All right. That's a good movie and we should watch it again. Carter,
yeah.
It's on the list of Carter movies Carter should see and hasn't yet. I have a whole list of those and we got to get to it. All right. Here's a story for you. California moves to outlaw stealthing, they call it, or what is otherwise known as removing a condom during the act of adult coitus. Are you familiar with it?
I am.
We had to do it three times.
I haven't heard this story.
We had to do that three times because we have three kids. That's how we know we got three kids because Kim and I had to do this three times. All right.
Listen to you.
I do this all the time, even when you're not here. Anyway, so there's this thing called stealthing where let's say you're a dude and you're like, I just wish I didn't have this here condom. And he, yoink, and now it's illegal.
Did it make that sound?
Yep, it goes yoink. Yoink. It was more like a, and then, I don't know.
Okay.
So, anyway, California lawmakers made it, or are moving to make the state the first in the nation to outlaw stealthing. Again, this is removing a condom without permission during intercourse.
Do you feel like these things that they try to make illegal, whatever, it just gives more ideas to people.
Sometimes.
Kids, whenever they're younger or whatever.
Yeah.
I feel like they read this and go, well, it sounds like a good idea because they're all idiots anyway.
Yeah.
So.
Well, now they just have a name for it.
I know.
Yeah.
That's my point.
Stealthing.
Like you're making it bigger than it was.
Well.
Phrasing.
Phrasing. Let's see. Legislators sent Governor Gavin Newsom.
I agree
Newsom.
They should make it illegal, but I feel like...
Should they? I don't know.
I think so.
I feel like that's a... I don't know. I'm torn on this one.
Are you?
Not like an old condom being torn, but you know what I'm saying. I feel a little... Government shouldn't be in there feeling...
Government shouldn't be in the bedroom is what you're saying?
Yeah.
But I don't know.
I also...
I really think that's fair for women.
Of course it's not. That's the thing. That's why I'm torn. I'm literally torn on this because I don't.
How can you be torn on that? Come on.
I'm torn on what would end up being precedent for more government in your bedroom oversight.
Okay.
And I just think that's dangerous because then you've got there's still laws on the books about what people can or can't do in the privacy of their own home. You know, like mm-hmm. that kind of stuff is ridiculous. But this is different. This is like a. I don't know what this is like. This is like...
I don't know what this is like either.
I don't know what to compare it to. I'm torn either way. Like, on the one hand, it's hideous. Like, this idea of stealthing is hideous. On the other hand, do I really want them poking around in there? I don't know,
Excuse
man.
Me.
Do you know what I mean? it's really weird.
Man.
It's really weird. And I don't... And again, No, Claire, let me make very clear what I'm saying. I'm saying all of this under the circumstance of a couple that's already having consensual hoo-ha, all right? And that's already happening. Now, he is a complete and utter loser wiener dick for doing this, for taking that thing off. Mm-hmm. No question about it. And it's awful. And I hate whoever does it. I guess what I'm saying is, so what happens? Let's say it happens. Does she go to her local PD and say, he yanked the condom off? I guess so. That's what you do.
Yes.
And then they do what? Go over there and try to verify this? I'm just saying, it's all a little, it's easy to say.
Yeah, because you're saying if it was consensual up to that point.
Right, yeah, it suddenly becomes very non-consensual the minute he does that.
Exactly.
So I guess what I'm saying isn't that already rape by its own nature, and therefore already that's already a thing that guy should get in trouble for.
Right.
I don't know. I'm just saying the more government wants to get into the bedroom, the more dangerous things get. But at the same time,
yeah, I feel like
that guy needs to get.
It's hard to enforce any of that because you're like, well, wait a minute, but yeah
that's what I'm saying. Stoic Squirrel says it well. He says, I agree with the spirit of the law, but it seems hard to enforce. That's kind of where I'm going.
And I agree with Claire, who says consent is not constant.
Yeah
absolutely.
Yeah, of course. So anyway, it's a hard thing. We'll see how that goes. All right, let's move on. The point is, it says it is illegal to remove the condom without obtaining verbal consent. But it doesn't change the criminal code. Instead, it would amend the civil code so that the victim could sue the perpetrator for damages, including punitive damages, which means money. Democratic Assemblywoman Christina Garcia has been pushing legislation since 2017, when the Yale University study said acts of stealthing were increasing against both women and gay men. Her original bill attempted to make it a crime. So it isn't. They wouldn't make it a crime, it looks like. It looks like it would just make it so you could sue. And have grounds to sue.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's one way to do it. You know, actually, I kind of like that. I like that because that gives you some justice.
Mm-hmm.
And man, what a weird thing!
I know.
Why
that's
are people
what I'm
doing?
Like,
why is a guy doing this in the first place? What is the point?
To the point where they have to turn it into a big litigation. You know,
let me help me understand this though. Why would a dude be like, "I'm gonna take this off"? Why?
I don't know. If you're already there.
Well, that's what I mean.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I mean, I know these are adult topics here, but sometimes we like to, you know, we like to get into those topics a little bit on the
and
thing.
People are saying some people don't like to work on them. Great, then talk about that in the beginning.
Is it because men are gross?
Yes. Sorry.
I would. I don't want to get weird here, but I would never do this.
No,
unless
you wouldn't. But that's. Beside the point.
The only way something like this happens is you have you communicate. So that's why this stuff, I feel so naive sometimes. Because this stuff just seems insane to me. Like, insane.
Yeah.
Like, I guess, so I have this old-fashioned thing in me. If you're going to be intimate with somebody, that usually means you're committed to them. Right?
I hope so.
Yeah. Well, that's what it means to me.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. I hope. Well, I can hope everyone is, but that's not the case.
So that's the whole point. That's why this stuff throws me as I read it and go,
like, what is wrong with that guy?
Why would you do that to her?
I don't know.
Don't you actually like her? Don't you want her to stick around? Maybe not.
Maybe not.
Maybe I don't get it. Anyway. Yeah, no, I know, Icor. That's my point. Like, it blows my mind that people do this stuff. I just don't know. I don't know what's wrong with everybody. Everybody freaking go take a cold shower and knock it off. All right. Let's move on to this story.
Be a good person.
Oh, no, that is our story. That's our last story. That's the story we're finishing with. This is interesting. Oh, never mind. That's a different thing. All right. Oh. Hey, we're done. Hey, so look at this. Been trying to find some good covers to play during the show, and I think we've done a pretty good job while Brian's been gone because he's the lord of covers and I'm not very good at it. But I like to go and find cool things and then play them on the show. Now, many of you at home are sad and disappointed that I haven't done an Africa cover. And you're right, I haven't. I haven't done one. And that's going to continue today because instead, I'm going to play a cover I found by the band Shinedown for the song you've all heard before called Simple Man. You know Simple Man, don't you? simple man. I can't do it. I can't sing it. But it's a good song, and it's really well done by these guys. I've never heard of Shinedown before, but this lead singer is really, really amazing. His voice is unbelievable, and even though you people live won't hear it, everyone listening to the podcast will, and I think you're going to be happy to hear it. So I'm going to play it now. When we come back, we'll have Bobby on. We're going to do some science. Wendy's gone, which we'll talk about in a second why, but that'll be right after this break. So everybody out there within the sound of my voice, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Well, Mama told me when I was young, said, sit beside me, my only son, and listen closely to what I say, and if you do this, it'll help you some sunny day. Or take your time, don't live too fast, troubles will come and they will pass. You'll find a warm arm and you'll find love. And don't forget that there is a someone up above. And be a simple kind of man. Be something you love and understand. Baby, be a simple kind of man. Oh, won't you do this for me, son, if you can. Get your lust from the rich man's gold. All that you need now is in your soul. And you can do this, oh baby, if you try. All that I want from you, my son, is to be satisfied and be a simple yourself. Follow your heart and nothing else. And you can do this, oh baby, if you try. All that I want from you, my son, is to be if you can.
Hey guys, I want to talk to you about my favorite pair of earbuds that I got from Raycon. I love Raycon so much. I mean, honestly, no matter how you get back out there in the world, all right? You've been vaccinated. You're like, man, I just need to get out. There's no denying It's a bit of an adjustment, okay? So when the world gets a little too loud, something I love to do is create my own soundtrack by popping in my Raycon wireless earbuds. And that's why we've teamed up with Raycon and offering their wireless earbuds to you and giving you an awesome discount. You'll get 15% off your entire Raycon order at buyraycon.com/morningstream. Sometimes you just need some upbeat music to pump you up before you see a bunch of people or stay calm with some guided meditation. I do this at night. I like to go back on the porch with my dog and just chill and listen. My Raycon earbuds close the rest of the world out. They're my favorite earbuds, straight up. And I've owned, I don't know, 10 different kinds of wireless Bluetooth-style earbuds. By far my favorite. And I get really upset if I think I've left them somewhere, but I always find them. They come with a bunch of these gel tips for your comfort. So unlike other brands, you know, you can make them fit your ears. Because you may have weird ears. I don't know. And they make it easy for us with weird ears. I have weird ears. Anyway, Raycon also has 32-hour battery life on every pair. So you can listen to what you want, when you want, for a really long time. And they start at half the price of other premium audio brands. They just sound as good, though. Raycon comes with a 45-day happiness guarantee. So you really can't lose. Give them a try, and you'll see what I mean. Create your own soundtrack with Raycon. Right now, you can get 15% off your Raycon order at buyraycon.com/morningstream. That's buyraycon.com/morningstream to save 15% on your wireless Raycon earbuds.
Every great idea ever that's come out of anywhere probably had some caffeine involved.
Yeah.
There's a mushroom in the forest that tastes similar to steak.
Computer, stop the flow of time.
All right, we're back. You want to hear the story about why Wendy's not here?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So, again, that, by the way, was Shinedown with their cover of Simple Man. It's very good. You guys should listen to it. All right. So, here's the story. I texted Wendy last night. I had a new email. We were going to cover it. We always talk before the show about what we're going to do. And she says, I hate to do this very last minute, but I got to cancel, which she never does. It's almost never Wendy canceling. It's usually me with something that had to change or whatever, but...
What good deed is she doing?
Well, you assume correctly.
Ah.
Check this out. There, she is helping a refugee family from Myanmar who came to this country, and as soon as they got here, their father died here, and now they're being presented with like a $10,000 funeral bill, and they don't hardly know English. They don't know what to do. They don't have this kind of money like at all. So she is spending the day with them haggling and working with different people to try to change this today. So she's spending all day with them trying to help them get this all set up and
very
stuff.
Cool.
She's very nice about it. She's legit. And she won't tell anyone about this. It'll only be me telling you guys about this because Wendy doesn't brag about the nice things she does. But she is very kind-hearted and always looking to help and serve. So anyway, I tell you that because I'm proud of her. She would be mad for me telling you, but she does nice stuff like that all the time. Anyway, so on that note, why don't we learn about science today? That's Colin Bryan. Can't do that. Hold on. I mean, I could, but it'd be weird. All right, hold on. Why can't I find you, Bobby? You're right there. That's why. All right, I'm calling Bobby Frankenberger, who will join us and do a little science. How do we know? Because I'm playing this.
I think science
will make you go poo-poo.
That's right. Science will make you go poo-poo, but only if Bobby joins us. Bobby, all the way from South Carolina. Bobby, welcome back. How the heck are you?
I'm doing great.
Yeah? You're doing all right? I heard you're going to run a marathon or something. What's that about?
I am. I've been training. I'm 17 weeks into... I just finished week 17 of a 30-week... training schedule to do a marathon in December.
Has it been hard? Has it been easier than
it's
you
been very hard.
Mm. Yeah.
But I suppose it's supposed to be. I mean, 26 point whatever miles is a long ways to run.
That's a lot, dude.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Would you do this?
I've gotten up to 10.
No.
You wouldn't do it? Okay. I wouldn't do it either. Yeah. I mean, I should do it. I should want to do it. I should have the desire to
he
do it.
He has age on his side, though.
That's true. That's He's a why. Young buck. Yeah. He's a young feller.
You can run. You don't necessarily have to. Should have to run a marathon. Like, that's kind of crazy. It's crazy that people run marathons. You know, it's named after the guy who, like, in ancient Greece or whatever, ran from Athens to Marathon, the city, or something like that. But what they don't tell you, so that was 26 point something miles.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But what they don't tell you is that when he got there, he died.
He died. What?
Because people aren't supposed to run for that long.
No. I didn't know that. Is that true? I didn't know that.
I don't like to run unless someone's chasing me.
Yeah, right?
I'm running for my life.
Like the lady at the Kroger. So hold on a second. I didn't realize Marathon A was a town and B that the dude died. This is all new to me. Chatroom says it's a myth. Yeah. Is that true? Is it not true?
I don't know. That's what I heard. I haven't researched it, so don't take my word on that. It could be a myth.
Okay. Well, now
I like it,
but it wouldn't surprise
story.
Me because
it is. A good
I mean,
story.
Holy shite! Just 10 miles the other day. I was. That's a lot, man.
Yeah, I get that. I don't know if I could. I don't think I could do it right now. I know I couldn't do it right now, but I could.
If you do decide to do it, whatever you shouldn't do, the thing you shouldn't do is go on to the running subreddits and start looking for stuff because the things that they tell you about, like, you know, the things that'll come out of your body when you're done.
Oh yeah.
I saw one time, and this was just a casual post mm-hmm. on Reddit. Someone not like freaking out or anything, but just casually asking, "Hey, so what do I do if my my toenails fall off after my marathon?" Mm. I'm like, "What?
Oh yeah. My gosh." See, yeah,
and everyone was responding like, "Oh, it's no big," you know, like lots of people had just normally calm advice.
Yeah.
So, like, obviously, that means this is a not uncommon thing.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. No, I just did by runners. What do they call that? Ken had this happen. He had to stop at some guy's house and use his bathroom because it was so bad.
He was running.
Oh yeah.
Stopped at someone's house because he just needed to go. And when he went upstairs to use the bathroom...
Oh, he clogged it.
No. He went to push the thing and it just moved. It wasn't working at all. Like,
that's right.
I can't even imagine. And then he walks downstairs like to tell the... I'm so sorry. Something's wrong with it. And they're not... They were gone.
They left.
They had left. So I'm like, I'm not even sure if it was like a...
I love this.
Like
story.
A showing, like they were showing this house for sale, maybe. I don't know. They left though, and so he just like got out of there as fast as he could, and was like, "I'm never going back there again."
Yeah, warn the new buyers about that toilet.
So the next time someone goes in there, they're going to be unpleasantly surprised.
Yeah, that'll be one of those unfortunate moments for sure.
Toilet.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I hope I'm pulling for you, man. I hope it goes well. I'm excited to see.
Yeah, thanks. I'm excited about it. I have ups and downs where I'm like, I don't know if I can do this, and then other times where I'm like, man, that was really great. I can do this. That was after this 10-mile run. I was very encouraged.
Sure, sure.
You got this. So.
Yeah,
that's
you
awesome.
Got this. You totally got this. Now here's the question for you. Would it help your would it help your performance if you took some horse dewormer before you went in there? The reason I bring that up, chat room and folks, is because we're going to talk about ivermectin, the horse dewormer, famously being used by a lot of people right now as a way to battle COVID-19. Of course, not everybody's doing this and whatever, but there are questions like, has it been tested for this? Is it a thing that has anecdotal evidence in its favor? Like, it's easy to dismiss it and just say, well, horse dewormer, you're an idiot, which I still feel like, but I don't know. we should probably at least address it in a way that's, you know, a little more scientific method. So tell me about it and why we should care about that thing.
Yeah, I mean, it is easy to look at stuff like this and just laugh at it, but there's like, when something like this becomes a thing, there's a reason that it becomes a thing, right? And I think it's really important to understand why, you know, because it's not becoming a thing that people are doing for no reason. So why is it becoming a thing? First of all, there were some studies that were done on it, and that's actually how all this started. There was some studies early on in the pandemic. You see, early on in the pandemic, when we were not sure how to treat all this, doctors and scientists were frantically trying to save people's lives. So they were looking at everything they could think of to try to figure out what's going to work. So they were looking at things like drugs and treatments that already existed for other things and figuring out, can we repurpose this
right.
to treat people with COVID-19? This was one of them. Hydroxychloroquine was another one that didn't turn out, but it was tested early on. Yeah. But ivermectin was tested, and what happened was when it was tested, it showed results in a specific way, and some people ran with it. But I want to talk about why, even though there are studies that showed that it did work, why scientists are saying now that it actually doesn't work, and how this is all a very important lesson in the importance of understanding how science works and the scientific method.
Got it.
So yes, there were some early studies that were that showed that ivermectin had activity in preventing virus replication, specifically with SARS-CoV-2, the virus that causes COVID-19. Mm-hmm. And you would think like, oh, well, that's great. Like it helps prevent the virus from replicating. That's what we want, right?
Yeah. It'd be almost it's easy to say, that's fine that it's horse dewormer normally, because if it works, great. It's like, you know, what is antibiotics? It's basically a form of mold. So we take mold all the time. You know, I could see why people would jump on that or, you know, get excited about it, I guess.
Right. But the problem is that, and this is one of the first things to understand when it comes to how science works with medicine, is that you hear the word clinical trials thrown around a lot, and clinical trials are very important. What clinical trials mean, what that means is that it's some sort of medical treatment. A clinical trial is testing a medical treatment on people. Like, it has to involve people. And the reason I say people and why that's important is because this research that was done that showed activity in the virus and preventing it from replicating, this was in vitro, which means basically in like a petri dish. Like, it was not in people. They took virus, put it in like a test tube or a petri dish, dosed it with some ivermectin and saw what happened, and they showed that it didn't replicate. But why is that not applicable to people? Well, it's because our human body is much more complicated than just a petri dish, right?
Right.
When it's in vitro in glass, it's, you basically just have the virus and the drug, and you're seeing how it interacts. And it's a good starting place to see, like, is this plausible? Is there something plausible here that we can look further into?
Yeah.
But when you put it in the human body, everything is different. And in particular with this, the problem is that your body, that when ivermectin goes into your body, it interacts with the proteins in your blood as well, and everything else that's in your body. But namely, the proteins in your blood, ivermectin binds really strongly to that. And so when you actually put ivermectin in your body, it turns out that only that like 93% of it gets bound up in blood proteins and inactivated, basically. So only like at most 7% of this drug, when it goes into your body due to pharmacokinetic effects, are only 7% of it is actually able to do anything in your body.
Right.
That's not very much. And also in these in vitro studies, they found that like very high doses of ivermectin were needed in order to show this antiviral effect. So if you combine the fact that you in the test tube, you needed a lot of ivermectin, and in your body, you get not very much ivermectin, it shows basically the plausibility of it working is next to none.
Right.
And that's what, when they finally did do clinical trials on it, it showed when those things were properly controlled that it doesn't do anything. But that's also why people are saying take horse-sized doses of it, because they're like, well, if you need to put more in your body, let's just put more in your body.
Yeah. And then they all go down to the feed store and they go buy them out of the stuff, and then they go for it. And then maybe they don't have worms anymore. Is there a side benefit to the dewormer if you got worms? I don't know.
Well, Well, okay, so that's a good question, actually, because ivermectin is not just a veterinary medication. It's actually used in people for different reasons. And one of them is it is an anti-parasitic. It is used to treat several things in people, but one of them is roundworm. It's used often in kids. You know, kids are not super hygienic. So they often get what are they called? Pinworms. You know, pinworms.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Didn't we have to get shot in the, Nick had to get shots for that or something? Or am I thinking of something else? Oh, I'm thinking of his hand, foot, mouth or whatever that was he had. Was that called hand, fist, mouth or
hand, foot, mouth?
Yeah.
You had it right the first time.
Virus.
It's rare. I'm right the first time. So let's celebrate.
Pinworms are actually a little more gross because they're in, speaking of poo-poo again, they're in your butt.
Yeah.
And that's why kids get it, because they're not very clean, right? They don't wash their hands like they should. Yeah. But you can use ivermectin to treat that, and it's an antiparasitic. It'll kill the roundworms and other types of more exotic parasites too. Like there's this river blindness, which is as scary as it sounds.
Yeah.
There's this parasite that lives in your skin, and it'll burrow from inside your body out so that it can reproduce. And then, but they're very, very small. But if it's in you, it doesn't care the type of surface that it's escaping through. So it'll go into your eyes and cause you to go blind.
Well, that sucks. Yeah. F those worms.
Mm. Yeah. That's what ivermectin is really useful for treating.
Okay, all right. Sweet. We found a use. Let's use it.
Yeah. Well, and then here's the problem, right? My wife is a pharmacist. She says that that there are doctors that are actually writing for ivermectin for COVID-19 because this is an important lesson. Side note, just because you're a doctor doesn't mean that you're a critical thinker. Oh, but that's an important lesson.
But people love, but see, they'd love to have these anecdotal outliers where they can then say, well, a doctor wrote this prescription, so clearly you guys are just hiding the truth.
Did they walk in and say, I want this prescription, I'm not leaving without it, this is all I want?
So, and that's part of it, yeah. Certainly that could be definitely part of it. But my wife says that there are people with kids who need ivermectin to treat, who are being prescribed it for parasites, and they don't have any in her pharmacy. Ugh.
Are you also saying all these people on Twitter and Facebook are not the experts they claim to be? Is that what you're telling me? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know. I haven't seen their credentials. I don't want to rush your judgment.
Okay.
But maybe not.
Yeah.
I think seems right.
So that's clinical trials. That's one thing to understand. Like, just because, I can't fault people for like people who don't have degrees and are not scientists and don't have degrees in this stuff. I can't fault them for not knowing this, but it's important to know that just because you've heard of a study where something seems to be treating something in vitro, in glass, that's what in vitro actually means.
Yeah.
It almost doesn't mean anything if there hasn't been a clinical trial. You have to test it in people.
Oh, when they say, someone says you were born in vitro, that's what they mean. You were a test tube baby. Is that what they mean? Okay. Yep.
In vitro fertilization is where they're fertilizing the egg, quote unquote, in glass. It's often in a petri dish.
I thought that just meant you put like the turkey bastard thing up the Virginia there.
Still is that?
Well, no, I just thought.
Well, that comes later after the egg is fertilized.
Oh, they still do that? Okay. I don't know anything about that process. I had to say it. I don't know. Obviously, I don't need to even tell you that, but I know nothing.
After
about
it's fertilized, it has to get stuck inside there. So.
All right. It's not a real turkey baster anyway, right? It's like a some other device, some other way.
I think a pipette. I mean, what is a pipette? But
a word I just heard for the first time is what a pipette is. I don't even know what that is. Never heard of that. Do you have one? Oh my lord, he has one. He's got one right there in his office. Hold on, you guys. We're getting a pipette.
Here we go.
Vagina, Lennon Abe. Vagina. Vagina.
Here's a pipette.
Oh, look at that. Okay, so that's how you get those up there.
Yeah.
Okay. Why do you have one?
I've got all kinds of. I'm the science guy. Okay.
He's got everything. What are you talking
about? I've got a microscope in arm's reach.
That's great. Anytime we need a pipette, I know who I'm calling. That's fantastic.
But So another important thing, have you ever heard of a double-blind placebo-controlled study?
Yes, that I have heard of.
So that's like the gold standard for science, especially medical science, right? Mm-hmm. And what that means and why they're so important is, so placebo-controlled it just refers to the fact that you're comparing the thing you want to test against something that doesn't do anything. It's like a treatment versus a non-treatment, right?
Right, but in the scenario is always that people don't know which they got.
And that's the double-blind right. part. Right, but before we get... So an example of a placebo is like, let's say you wanted to know, does Gatorade help prevent people from being dehydrated?
Yeah.
The way you would have to test that is you would want to test Gatorade against... You don't just want to give people Gatorade and see if they get hydrated,
right?
Because you're trying to see, does Gatorade have something... Is there something special about it? Mm-hmm. So you would test it. You'd have some people drinking Gatorade and some people just drinking water, which would be the placebo.
Yeah.
And often with these subjective things, you would want to make sure that people somehow were not aware. Like you'd maybe want to alter the water somehow to make it so they couldn't tell that they weren't drinking Gatorade. But yeah. That's gets a little bit more complicated, right? And that's why there are people whose job it is to design these studies.
Right.
The double blind part, like you were talking to, refers to the practice of making sure that nobody who is involved, the researcher or the subject of the study, so even the scientist, is not aware of which is the placebo and which is the treatment, the real treatment.
Gotcha. Okay.
That's important. And it gets more important with things that have subjective outcomes.
They do know that they don't know, though, right?
I mean, what was that you said?
They do know that they don't know. In other words...
Correct.
This may sound like a dumb question, but no doctors or no researcher in this situation is going, he doesn't think he knows. They know that they don't know. They know that it's double blind, right?
Yeah.
That sounds weird to say it that way. Yep. But,
yeah. Well, even the people that are volunteering for the studies or whatnot, they also don't know. That's an important ethical thing, is there's this whole idea of informed consent. You have to tell the people you might be getting the treatment or you might be getting a placebo. That's super important that they know that they might not be getting anything.
Okay. That's what I didn't know about the patient side. Cause I didn't know if they always did know that or not,
and that's just an ethics thing, because you don't want to volunteer for something thinking that you're getting a treatment and then you don't get anything. Like, let's say you're volunteering for some sort of cancer treatment.
Yeah.
It would be unethical to not get treatment if you thought that you were guaranteed to get treatment.
Gotcha. Okay.
Right. Okay.
So known unknowns, the chat is saying, and that sounds right. I've heard that phrase before.
Right.
There you go.
But it's the reason it's super important to double blind and that nobody knows what's going on is because there are so many unconscious biases, even from the perspective of the scientist, that it can influence the outcome of a study. So imagine, what can I think of one off the top of my head? I know I was reading a thing recently about amber teething rings. So,
oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Tell me about these things.
If you're listening, amber teething rings don't work.
I know they don't, but my daughter my daughter refused to believe me when she was using an amber teething ring. She refused. Right. If she hears
so this, I don't, it's something that teething is really hard. To go through when your kid is teething. So I don't want to like shame anybody. Like, people are going to try whatever they can try to soothe their children. But that's actually why it's super important when you're testing these different things, and why I'm using this as an example. If you wanted to test whether amber teething rings worked, you need to have everybody in the study not know what's going on, because you, as the parent, maybe as the researcher, you want something to work, right?
Yeah, you have a built-in motivation in the thing.
Right, and so because you have such a bias, you're motivated to have something work, and you really want it to work, then you might interpret things in a more positive way than maybe it would be if it was just purely objective. So you have to keep all that stuff blinded. Even in medical stuff where you're getting a treatment, like there's this whole studied bias involved where patients have a tendency, a natural tendency to report positive results when they're involved in a study, no matter what, because they think that's what the doctor or the researcher wants to hear. And they're not aware that this is happening.
Right. They're just doing it. Yeah.
We just want to please people.
People are weird, man. Psychology and the whatnot. Yeah. And yeah, 311 was wrong. Amber is not the color of your energy, it turns out. So,
well, it might be the color of your energy.
Yeah, it might be. Who knows?
Don't make it the color of your saliva.
No. Well, the point is, more testing needed. Are they doing more testing with ivermectin, or has it all been decided? Have these double-blind tests happened already? Like, what's the status of that?
Yeah, so if you go onto, like, the FDA website and you look into, like, official sources of this, they're going to... It's my opinion that they have too soft a language about this, and they'll say... No research so far shows that it works. They do say that. Hmm. But then they'll say, studies are ongoing.
Yeah.
And to me, that's too soft a language because it implies that it's an open question. But there has been lots of really good research done on this, and all of the good, well-designed studies show that it does not work.
Yeah.
All right. So, yes, there might be ongoing studies that have not been published yet. But based on the science that we know, it's unlikely. Not only is their low plausibility, like I said before, because the amount of ivermectin you would have to take in order to maybe see the amounts of that you would need for it to do anything are dangerously high, because these drugs do have dangerous side effects. But also the studies that are using reasonable doses for humans are showing that it doesn't work.
Right.
So they're just keeping their hopes up.
Yeah.
By sort of. Saying, yeah, well, but yeah, we don't know for sure. Ongoing studies.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, at least that's the impression.
That's sometimes a problem with science communication is scientists naturally don't like to use definite language, right? Because information changes. When you're a scientist, you're trained to know that the facts on the ground can change, and what you do as a critically thinking scientist is you are prepared to take in the new information and update your knowledge, right?
Right.
And so it's important as a scientist to always know that, like, this is the fact of the matter as we know it right now, and to always leave room for things to change in the future. But when you're communicating science, I feel that, yes, it's important for people to know that, but also to know that people will take that little bit, that little inch, and turn it into a mile, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And because they're not trained as scientists, because, and this is a whole nother conversation, because our country... And I don't know how it is in the rest of the world, but I know in the U.S. we do a terrible job at teaching what science actually is in our country.
Yeah,
we're pretty bad at it. So people don't understand the process of science very well as just the general population. So.
My guess is 40% of people in this country don't know what double blind means. If I had to guess, I could be wrong, but that feels about right to me. And that's
scientific answer.
Yeah, there's my scientific answer. I based it on a double-blind study I did with my children. Well, very good. This is good stuff. Don't take the ivermectin. It'll give you the shits, is my takeaway. And maybe worse, because a bunch of y'all ended up in the hospital. And honestly,
it can cause seizures and comas. And
oh my gosh,
those are in the worst cases, of course, but. But when people are trying to get these high doses, you hear horse dewormer, right? But I think the reason that was singled out is because that's the like craziest, funniest sounding one. but it's used for all kinds of animals, for all sorts of reasons.
Yeah, and like you said, some human things are needed. It's used for parasitic stuff and all that. Like,
yeah.
It's just easy. It's easy to jump on this one because, you know, it's mostly this known for this horse stuff. And it fits the narrative, everyone's dumb, pretty well. Yeah. What I would say is it fits the narrative of people who don't want to get vaccinated are looking for any other thing that they can glom onto, which is insane to me, but whatever. Like, that's why if you feel like you're into ivermectin, you're getting ridiculed, it's because of that. It's that. Yeah. You've got the obvious answer right in front of you. It's free and available, and you're doing this other thing.
People are desperate, and there's a tendency that we have to look at TikTok and Twitter and Facebook and all these things and blame the people that are taking it and laugh at the people who are crapping themselves because of it. Yeah. But it's important to understand that there are organized groups of people who are anti-vaxxers and who are pro-alternative medicine, who are in an organized way promoting the use of things like ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine in order to get people to stop taking vaccines, basically. And those are the people that we should be mad at and making fun of, and all the people who are taking it. And this, I strongly believe they're victims of these
misinformation.
Misinformation.
Yes, these deliberate misinformation campaigns that are being pushed around, you know?
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. But we got a smart audience. Most of you are doing good, so keep doing a good job out there. And maybe one day there won't be a pandemic. Who knows? Or maybe there'll just be less of one. I don't know. Science seems to point to this one's here for a bit. So hunker down and get your damn vaccine. All right. Bobby, always a pleasure to hang out and talk. Remind folks where they can get All Around Science and why they should.
Yep, the podcast is called All Around Science, and you can get it just where you get podcasts. That's All Around Science. We've got a website, allaroundscience.com, if you want to go there too. Tonight, we're recording the episode that's going to be released on Monday, and we're talking about this, actually. We're not just, like, my focus today was, with talking with you, was to talk about how this is such an example of how little the scientific process is understood, and to kind of focus on that. But I'm going to be going in a lot deeper on what is ivermectin, why is it dangerous, and what is the misinformation campaign and the conspiracy theory surrounding it, and all that kind of stuff, and kind of the history of how this has happened. We're going to be talking about that. That episode will be out on Monday, so if you're interested in that, check that out. Speaking of in vitro fertilization, on Monday, this episode is already out. We just had a whole episode talking about how in vitro fertilization works.
Oh, very nice.
Isn't that a coincidence?
It sure is. Wow, it's almost like we planned it. It's a conspiracy.
It is, man. My co-host Maura, she went through, she had both of her kids that she has, she did IVF, in vitro fertilization. So she tells her story, and I am very proud of the episode, and it's very personal, and it's a great episode. You should listen to it.
Well, we should all get our own pipelet or whatever it's called. What's it called?
Pipette.
Yeah. A pipette. All right. Bobby, have a fantastic week. We'll see you next time. All right. Well done. Kim, we've done it.
We've done it.
We've done a show. Look at you sitting here the whole time. Making your way.
Did you expect me to walk out in the middle of it?
No. Oh,
I'm out of here.
I'm out of here. I'm going to take in some horse dewormer. No, it's just nice. You know, it's a nice long show today. Before we get out of here, big thanks to all the co-hosts who sat in with us, including you, honey. Thanks for doing it with us.
Of course.
Of course, you can find Kim and I on the Skim Show, which is a little late this week because... last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But don't worry.
Because we did this.
Yeah, because we did this.
This feels a lot like Skim.
Yeah, you kind of got your thing. You kind of got your Skim without even meaning to. But anyway, that show happens usually on the weekly, and we've got one coming up soon. So listen
call it
for that.
Accidental Skim.
There you go. Frogpants.com/skim or wherever you get your podcasts, and go check that out. We're going to get out of here. Quick reminder that this show is supported by the patrons of TMS. Patreon.com/TMS is how you do it. Many of you have been here a long time. We really thank you for that. And anybody who's new, hey, welcome to the program. If you haven't yet jumped on, perfect time to do it. It's relatively new month, and that means new stuff happening all the time. So hop in, get the bonuses, get the extras, and sleep well knowing that you're supporting your favorite morning show at patreon.com/TMS. Send those emails to themorningstream@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Okay. Kim, I'm going to play another song. You ready for this one?
I'm ready.
James Hetfield of Metallica fame, or just Metallica, we'll say. The name of the song is James Hetfield in the News, Hip to Be the Sandman. Okay. This is going to sound weird, but it's a mashup of Huey Lewis in the News and Metallica, Enter Sandman and Hip to Be Square. The mashup is called Hip to Be Sandman. I know it sounds stupid, but it's great. And it somehow freaking works, and I don't know how, but it does. So I'm going to play it for you now. And Brian will be back Monday. There'll be a film sack this weekend, all sorts of other stuff as well, The Instance and Core tonight at 5 p.m. Plenty of content coming, so watch for all of that. Kim, any final words before we get out of here?
Have a great rest of your week.
Have a nice life.
I was going to say weekend, but it's Thursday.
Have a nice...
It's coming.
Have a nice life. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
What are you here for, eh?
Eh.